A blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving and appreciation in our hearts for your goodness unto us since the beginning of this just concluded week, and even spanning our life to see the beginning of another week. I want to thank you for your numerous cares, your provision, your protection, your intervention in our affairs. Lord, we bless you. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, from your word. Lord, that we have opportunity to hear, to listen to, through the tapes in the assembly, Lord, personal studies, and Lord, the grace to meditate upon your word. We bless you. Thank you for the effect of your word in our lives as your children that you have chosen before the foundation of the world to understand the light of our time. Lord Jesus, where gross darkness covers everywhere, we are grateful to you for opening our eyes to recognize our day and its message and messenger. We thank you. Lord, once again, we have come to your house. Lord, we are needy people. We are needy, and you are the only one that has what we have need of. We pray, Lord, that you be gracious and be merciful to us. Lord, that all that you have in store for us today to make us what you want us to be, us all by the enemy of our souls, who is the devil. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, to recognize your move. Help us to have understanding when you are talking to us. Lord, you have faith in our lives. Lord, help us in the entire service of today. We ask for mercy. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, that nothing will stand between us and you this morning. Eternal Father, while you are blessing others, Lord, don't pass us by. If there be anything the enemy is standing on against our lives, Lord, we look unto you this moment for mercy and your grace to speak on our behalf, that the hands of the enemy might be removed, that we might have your presence available to us to get all our blessings that we desire. Grant it, Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, set the captives free. Stretch forth your hand to break the yokes and the bands of the devil. Lord, shatter his works in our lives, in our midst, and show forth your glory and majesty. Heal the sick. Oh, Father, every promise that you have made, we are in your presence to witness the manifestations of the same. The faith we need, Lord, may you bestow upon us. At the end of the services of today, all glory and honor will be yours, and blessings will be ours, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless and appreciate you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Welcome ourselves to the Sunday school once again as we open our Bible to Matthew chapter 16. We'll read from verse 13 to 18. Then we'll read Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. And after reading this first text, you can sit. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13 to 18. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You can please be seated as we open to Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. Oh, once again, we welcome ourselves to the Sunday school. The church looks so scanty this morning. All right. Praise be to God. By the grace of God, we continue with the topic of the Sunday school, Revelation and You. Last Sunday, we were on the thought, faith esteems God's worth than the best the world can offer. We have been on this thought, and we'll continue with it this morning. Praise be to God. Faith esteems God's worst than the best the world can offer. We pick Moses as an example, where we read from Why Christ Speak. We also read from Looking at the Unseen. And we start from there this morning. As we continue. Reading paragraph 43 of Looking at the Unseen Preaching, 1958, October 3. Faith esteems God's worth than the best the world can offer. As we read in Hebrews, which is the roll call of the victorious saints. In Hebrews chapter 11 there, we read that all the characters that the Bible mentioned there did nothing only by revelation. And we have said that revelation, the prophet told us, is faith. And faith, the prophet said, is the revelation of the will of God. So, whatever you do, if it is contrary to the scripture, which is the will of God, if it is contrary to Malachi 4, which is the interpretation of the Bible, which gives us the understanding of God's will for our time, then I am not walking by faith. Then I don't have revelation. And revelation is the gift of God, which cannot be bought in the market. It cannot be handed in the school. No matter how much certificates we can acquire from school, they do not equate to revelation. No matter our status in life, no matter our position, if faith is not given to us, then we are nothing. We will never do things that will please God. Because in verse 6 of this Hebrew chapter 11 says, without faith, it is an impossibility for any person that has not this faith to please God. And that's what we have in Romans chapter 8, where it says that they that are in the flesh, and it means they don't have revelation, they don't have faith, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And what is that faith? Is the revelation of the will of God to you as a person. God making his will that he has written and interpreted by Malachi 4 known to you, that this is my will. And when that is made known to you, you cannot do contrary. Because you can see in Hebrews here, look at what happened to them. Having recognized God's will, then they became to that will of God. That was why we could see Moses, how he can denounce the best that the world could offer him. In fact, I just feel I should continue to repeat this every time. Because this is just the entire message. It's the revelation of God's will to you, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. Alright? Let me read first, before I come to looking at the unseen. Let me read Why Christ Speak, preaching 1963. July 14, paragraph 159. Why Christ Speak. There are two. It's the one preaching in Exodus 3. By his faith, that's Moses, led him to take the choice of the world, and not the glamour. He took the world. That's what Moses' faith did. When faith looks on God's words, remember, here was the glamour now, the world, the highest king of the world. That one was before Moses. Was just a step to that. What took him a step to that means the incumbent Pharaoh will have to die. That's the meaning. Once the incumbent Pharaoh then died, Moses was the next to take over. And he knew it. He saw it. The prophet said he had everything was just on his hands. So remember, here was the glamour now. The glamour. The thing that the devil offered the Lord Jesus Christ when he was there. And show him the glory and majesty of the world. Let's come to Matthew chapter 4, where we are here. Let's see where that is with us here. Matthew chapter 4. We pick the temptation of Jesus. Matthew 4. All right. We are picking the second temptation. And again, verse 8. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then said Jesus unto him, get thee Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There is nobody that is excluded from that temptation. Nobody. Whether you're a Christian or you are not, it is before you. Whether you're a Christian or you are not, the temptation is before you. Praise be to God. Back to Moses. Remember, here was the glamour now, the world, which Satan showed to Jesus. The highest, the king of the world. And where was God's promise? In the mud hole. A mud dauber. But when faith look at God's words, it sees it greater and more valuable than the best the world can show. The reason is because the prophet told us that revelation makes you to see what God sees. What God is looking at is his own promise. What he looks at is his own promise. That is why it looks foolish to any carnal man
how Abraham will forsake his father's land and then be looking for an uncertainty. We'll be looking for a land he has never seen physically. He has never seen with the two eyes. And then the one he had, like the English expression says, a bed in hands was thrown in the bush. And Yoruba also says that I can go keep ojo. But that's the human sense. If it is God that is telling you do it, like it did to Noah, to make an ark, because rain was coming, the rain physically was not there. All adages that talk about you must see before you take steps, they are contrary to the scripture. When it has to do with faith, God revealing his will to an individual. That is why a person to whom revelation has been given will act hard to others. How we need to pray for this revelation. You see? Yes, sir. When faith looks at it, when faith sees, when faith can see, when faith in the word of God, not human faith, God given faith, faith in God's word, which is the revelation of his will that is written here, given to an individual, can see what made and can see the world made manifest. It is more to them than all the glamour and archbishopry and everything else you can speak of. Faith does see. See, you can see the worst, the despised, the rejected, the whatever it might be. Let it be at his worst. That is why a Christian does not choose by sight. The Bible says, we look not by sight, but by faith. So a Christian does not operate by physical thing that he sees. He does not take his decision based on what he sees today. And to clarify this, faith influences our choices of the job or profession we undertake. It influences your decisions in the friendship you make. It influences your decision in the marriage you're going into. Faith, revelation, showing the will of God to you. This is my will. Once it is revealed to you, you cannot do contrary. When you do contrary, it means you are carnal. You lack that faith. Now we're coming. Faith sees what the eyes of human being cannot see. It's a long range. That it sees farther than the eyes. It sees beyond what the eyes cannot see. And that's why the prophet preached this sermon, called it looking at the unseen. Now to let it be clear to you, a Christian sister cannot take up a military or police job. He cannot take up any paramilitary job as a Christian sister. Do you know why? Down the line, trousers will be introduced. You can't escape it. If they don't do it today, they will do it tomorrow. So a Christian sister that is filled with all this will sit down and consider those things first. You will look at it. Before he enters into it, oh, things are difficult. My husband is in debt. I have to work. Yes, but not that kind of work. No matter how cheap it is for you to get it, you have to think twice. If you have revelation, nobody, your husband will not even tell you to stop. You will never think about it. If that is the only available job that you just, somebody is ready to just put in there and give you, and from that month you start to collect your salary. You don't need to do anything. Just go to the office and go and sit down and the rest of it. If you don't wear trousers today, you will wear tomorrow. Because it's the kingdom of the devil. So faith makes you to take the right decision. It helps you to look at the will of God in his absoluteness. And then you line your line with it. Revelation. The prophet said, how we need to pray for revelation. And if it is above us, the prophet says, pray for it. You Jacob's ladder, which is prayer. Because it's only God that can give it. The type of friend you make will determine by the type of revelation you have. Because show me your friend, then I will tell you the type of person that you are. If you are a Christian, you know the word of God is against anything. You won't associate with what is wrong. You won't associate with what the word of God is against. Do you know why? If you make friends with somebody that lives contrary to God's word, you become an accomplice. And there's a scripture that puts you on a hedge. And that is Romans chapter 1, the last verse there. If you can project it for us. Romans chapter 1, the last verse. Okay, let's look at verse 31 so that we'll be able to understand. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, the workers of iniquity, the people of the world, the wickedness, because they have rejected the counsel of God for themselves. They have refused to recognize God the way God is. God gave them over to reprobate mind so that they will do the things that are convenient. And the homosexual and the rest of them are listed under this. Romans chapter 1. And then, no, let's speak it 30, from 30, so that we. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. In other words, all that are listed in this Romans chapter 1, anyone who does them is worthy of death. Because the wages of sin is death. And that is why lying is not greater than murder in the sight of God. They are all punishable by eternal damnation. Oh. Because it's God that's going to judge both of them. Who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Ah, you might not condemn them, you might say, well, after all, I don't condemn him. I don't condemn her. This and this and this and this. You are an accomplice. In God's program, you are judged also. You'll be judged as the one that did it will be judged. When you know God's perfect will, you stay with it. And that is why the prophet said there is no compromise in the heart of the believer. No compromise. And it has to take revelation for you never to compromise. When there are compromises, then there is a lack of revelation. Revelation and you. See? We talk about friendship. We could talk about job. And then the prophet speaks about this. The kind of marriage. The prophet said, marry a boy that believes just exactly as you do. You wouldn't do that if you lack revelation. You will not do it. You will look at glamour that Moses forsook because he had revelation. So, if Moses had gone after the glamour, it will tell us that he lacked revelation. Is that not? Yes. See, let it be better emphasized to us once again that God has his will already spread out in the world. But you have the right to do what you want to do as an individual. But remember, it is not man that put the words together.
Though man speaks it to you, you hear it from the mouth of man. Because God has partnered to walk with man to preach the gospel. That word is not man's word. And that word is not going to be affected by man. It is the one that brought that word, which is God, that's going to affect it. So that is what the believer looks at. That he say, oh, I won't compromise this, when he understands that. Praise be to God. The prophet said in the sermon, looking at the unseen. I'm trying to get us to know that revelation influences our choices. Revelation influences the choice you make. The choice, and remember, we have been made to know that there is always right and wrong before us. In the sermon that we are taking in the major service, how can I overcome? There is wrong and there is right. The prophet said, no matter what our environment might be, we will never be able to shake us every way from it. But it's not left to you and me to take sides with one of them. And the side we take will determine the revelation that we have. Praise be to God. Alright? Are you there? Looking at the unseen? I'm preaching from paragraph 18. It is a strange thing that man who was made in the image and the likeness of God and was called of him to walk by faith. Oh, you said you got it. Looking at the unseen. Sorry, preaching 1958, October 3. Paragraph 18. I thought I mentioned that, 18. Paragraph 18. Yeah. So it is strange. It's a strange thing that man who was made in the image and the likeness of God and was called of him to walk by faith, believing that God is, will choose to walk by sight instead of by faith. After his maker, his being, and all that dwell in him was fashioned in the likeness of God. And God is that great Jehovah who caused those things which were not as though they were. That's Romans 14, verse 17. And man made to live with God in this manner, yet he has the chose, he has chosen to walk by sight. Oh, he wants to be his own boss. He wants no one to tell him what to do. That's just the nature of man. He proved to be thus in the Garden of Eden when he had lost his fellowship with God. That's a sign that man is not connected with God when he leans on his or own understanding. He proves to be thus in the Garden of Eden when he had lost his fellowship with God by choosing to go his own way, not have anyone to rule over him. But a man is made like a sheep, and a sheep cannot find his way back. I am told, when he's lost, he's totally lost. You see? And that's the way with man. When he is lost, he is absolutely helpless. He must have a shepherd to guide him. A man, when he chooses, as the day goes on, we find man continually getting worse, choosing rather to walk by sight than stead by faith, by the unseen. And when he does that, he robs the inner man, which is the soul, and that is the eternal part of the man. He robs that inner man of eternal blessings. He robs that inner man of joy that come from God, of peace that come from God, of the deliverance that come from God. It robs that inner man, because that inner man is what is most important in the man. Is the soul. See? Now, man shall not live by bread alone, said the Lord, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And a man's physical being to be taken care of is not all the reason God put him on the earth. Because what he does with this physical being amounts to very little. You see, because it's going to the dust. This body is going to the dust. It amounts to very little. How much care is given to this body? But many people concentrate on this flesh and spend thousands of naira on it. Why the soul is impoverished? Why the soul is so poor? Why the soul is afflicted? Why the soul is not taken care of? You see, it is the soul that counts. It is the inward man that did not come from the heart. That's when we say that the heart, dust that shall return. The prophet said, that is not spoken of the soul. It's this body. It's this body. You know? You see? When a man... So it is his soul that counts. It is the inward man that did not come from the earth. It comes from heaven. And that is the eternal part of the human being. But yet, strange that he tries to figure his own way out. How can a human being figure his way out? He will crash. We are sheep that we must depend upon a shepherd. And that is why in the physical, in the physical church, there is a shepherd. God given shepherd to guide, to counsel, to advise. And then we have the master shepherd, the great Holy Spirit himself, to guide us. You see? It is the inward man that pants. Yeah. But yet, strange that he tries to figure his own way out. And we find it so in the scripture that when a man chooses to walk in his own way and do the way he wants, God just lets him alone. Because God will not contend with him. Man must not think for himself, but he must let the mind that is in Christ be in him. We are not to think for ourselves. We are to call everything contrary to what he said as though it is not. And that can only take place by revelation. Because you can only say that when the will of God has been made known to you. Not glamour. Not physical. You see? No matter what the eyes claim to be, we are to call everything contrary to what he said as though it is not. No matter what our eyes claim to be, we do not live by what we see. We live by what we believe. And if you believe trash, you will live by trash. If you believe the word, you're going to live by the word. A few days ago, I was listening to a program on the radio coming to Sunday school, and it was a roundtable discussion with teenagers in Louisville. What was one of the most important things? Was the girl to find the boy with dark curly hair, or the boy, the girl with the pretty blue eye or brown eye? Did that make the difference? It seems like that would be the great thing to a teenager. But that isn't the greatest thing. The greatest thing is find your God. For after all, God is the main important thing that we are in the earth to do to serve him. And if you do marry or contrary anything connected to that, you will pay for it in the days that lay ahead of you. You must always remember by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith, and we look at the unseen. And we might go on several hours speaking of the modern day, of how men and women today just completely look, and they go down the street, and they are going to choose a church that they must go and bring up their children in, and they search around through the city, not trying to find the most spiritual church, but the biggest church that they can find, choosing by sight. You see? The greatest crowd and best dressed and the celebrity of the city goes to this certain church. Many people go to those churches to look for job, to seek connection, not for salvation of their souls. Yeah. They see, I've had testimony from a particular who belonged to another church that decides to be going to that church for contracts. You see? And then in that church, they will try to find a minister that is what they call the narrow-minded, not narrow-minded, that will just about let them live any way they wish to and belonging to that church. But the spiritual man on the inside, if you will give him the right way, he might lead you to a little mission somewhere where there is not many people, but there is the spirit of the living God. For the outside man feeds on psychology and intellectual, but the inside man feeds on the word of God. Praise be to God. The prophet said, don't I miss something out here. Oh, merciful God. Why? It seems like that will be the great thing to a teenager, but that isn't the greatest thing. The great thing is find your God, your maker. Don't mix marriage. I think I jumped that, isn't it? Oh, merciful God. I just felt that was not, I didn't read that. Don't mix marriage. Marry a boy that believes just as likely like you do. And if you don't believe, you will marry who believes what you believe. The Lord be our head. Revelation is very, very important. If you don't have revelation, you will follow the crowd. If you don't have revelation, you will tend to your understanding. You cannot please God without revelation. Let's bow down our heads. We continue next week by God's grace.
Father, we are happy to be back to your house again.
this fourth day of the week. Thank you very much for the week that ended yesterday. Your cares upon us, your guidance, your leadership, your daily provisions, your healings. Lord, all that you did for us throughout the week. We all have testimonies as individuals of your goodness unto us. Thank you for the ceremony and the weekend. Thank you for seeing us through. Today is the beginning of another week, and our desire, O God, our expectation and our prayers and requests, O God, that this week may be better than the one that ended yesterday. Just meet us at the point of our knees, further your works in our lives. Thank you, our Master. We know one thing, without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do all things. So we need you in this journey. Without you, we are lost. But with you, Lord, we are among the cockroaches. Help us, Heavenly Father. Bless yourself and replenish him for the virtue that left him as we lead the rest of the services into your hands, Lord. Thank you, our Master. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.
Every promise in the book is mine. Or every chapter, every verse, and every line. Hallelujah. I am trusting in his love.